ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week's episode has an explicit warning, just to give you guys a heads up. Now, this episode has Brian Barlow in it. If you know the name, you know he runs the controversial Facebook page Offsides. Now, that being said, I feel like I talk too much in this episode, and I'm sorry for that. But I'm not doing it out parents for their bad behavior when I do the exact set bad behavior back. I know I'm a work in progress here, but I know my mistakes, and I try to make up for it. So let's head to the pitch.
Barlow, obviously, the creator of Offside, the infamous and energetic and passionate and sometimes controversial Facebook page that I started about 5-6 years ago on Facebook. As for me, you know, I'm a regional USSF ref on the youth side. I don't do a lot of youth games anymore. I'm a national NYSOA, so I get to do a lot of D1 college matches and other college matches as well. And So I try to save my body, my mind, my spirit, and my soul for the collegiate game. And I've been fortunate enough to be in the pro system to some extent and getting to ref the USL and getting some pretty good assignments there. But, you know, I started the Offside page, though, not for me, which a lot of people think that the page was, you know, devoted to helping me ref. It wasn't. It was it was really, I just saw a major trend with how people were acting on the sideline of youth sporting events. And, you know, when I was growing up, it was there, but it didn't seem to be as bad. It didn't just seem to be as prevalent and as toxic and as cancerous as it is now. And so, you know, as I was really kind of starting to come up in the ranks of officiating, it just makes you not want to ref. Like, it makes you not want to ref. So I decided, you know, I'm a marketing guy, I own a marketing company. I do a lot of progressive marketing speaking. And I decided to start a Facebook page and make fun of the people that cause youth sports to be so toxic and negative for kids. And long story short, I started the page as parody. I really had no intentions of becoming what I have become, which is, you know, arguably the world's probably leading referee advocate. And the page was designed originally to make fun of people, and then it moved to shaming people, and now it's shaming people and really being an advocate and a voice for officials, not just in soccer, but all officials of all levels in all sports. And so the page went viral probably 4 years ago when I offered $100 to anyone and everyone that captured referee abuse on their cell phone through video. And if they sent that video to us and we posted it on the Facebook page, then we would give $100. And my God, did we give a lot of money out. And fortunately now people tend to volunteer their content as opposed to wanting the $100, because a lot of people are really on board to really trying to get people to take us, you know, to stop and look at what they look like and sound like and act like and how negative it is to the experience of the game and how embarrassing it is to the child of the cheeseburger doing it. And so that's a little bit about me. It's a little bit about the offside page, and that's a little bit of the history, and here we are.
So can you explain what a cheeseburger is to everyone? Yes,
because a lot of people, a lot of people don't know what a cheeseburger is. It was a word I designed when I first started the page. I quickly learned I was calling them assholes. I was calling them idiots. And I quickly learned that the algorithm to Facebook does not like that. And then the more strict Facebook got on Facebook standards and monitoring of hateful words, and the more I was getting, you know, in trouble. And so I decided, you know what, and again, I'm a marketing guy, right? So what is the person that is typically on the sideline? What are they doing? What is their typical MO? How can I identify them without calling them an asshole? And let's be honest, it is typically, and listen, I'm not a guy that fat shames. I'm not, but I'm just going to call a spade a spade. It's typically the woman or the man that weighs 250 to 300 pounds, somewhere in between there, hasn't ran a quarter of a mile since they were probably in high school and probably couldn't do it then, probably just went to the concession stand, loaded up on a pop, a cheeseburger, a hot dog, a pretzel, some cheese nachos, something like that. And they've walked their fat ass back to the sideline, sat their fat ass in a chair in the shade with no pressure of right or wrong. These are the people. These are the stereotypes of people that are typically the ones causing all the havoc at youth sporting events. So I slug them cheeseburgers.
I don't fit your stereotype then.
Good for you, right?
I think it's just because it's the household. Like for me, it's the household I grew up in. My dad, when I went to sporting events, my dad had to sign a contract for my younger two brothers. I'm one of six kids, and I have there's four boys, and my younger two brothers, my dad had to sign a contract in order to go watch them play at high school, because he never meant to be like to chase them out of the parking lot. Whatever happened on the court or the pitch or the diamond, that's where it stayed. Yeah. The coach was not off limits either. Our coach was not off limits. The refs and the coach was not off limits. And so my dad had to sign a contract because my dad's voice carries.
Yeah.
He had one of those really loud, gruff voices, and you heard it, you shook.
Yeah.
And so it's something I grew up with. So as a parent, I'm much better now than I used to be. I mean, going back maybe 2 years, and in, of those 2 years, it's been a struggle. But I'm more yell about safety concerns than I do as a parent. And how do you advise parents then to keep calm, cool, collective? I don't know if you've ever, before I let you answer, have you ever seen the video Dare to Chill?
No, I have not.
In the video, it's telling parents to do yoga on the sidelines, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
Meditate on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Don't be that obnoxious parent. And as a coach, I had four types of parents, and one of them was the crazy parent on the sideline, and I fell underneath that category as a parent. But how do you advise parents to actually stay calm and cool and collective, because little Johnny and little Susie can never do wrong in our eyes, and we're only there to protect them. And I know at the end of the day, we can only protect so much. We have to let them fly. But how do you advise them?
Well, you know, my first instinct is, if you can't control your emotion, if you can't be logical, if you can't stay out of the way, if you can't keep your mouth shut, don't register your kids for contact sports. And here's the deal. If you're putting your kids in contact sports, whether it's soccer, basketball, football, wrestling, whatever it is, you're admitting that there is a chance that they're going to get hurt. There's a chance that they're going to get cheated. There's a chance that they're going to get pushed. And that's part of sports. And listen, the level of game that your kid is playing is the level of official that is officiating that game. And so if you're on a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11, 12, 13, whatever, that is clumsy sports. It's not even sports, it's clumsy. They're trying to figure out their body motion. They're trying to figure out the fundamentals of that specific sport. They run into people, the ball bounces weird. They don't know how to adjust their body. And so they're learning. And so there's a lot of like weird things that happen in youth sports. Weird things that even experienced officials wouldn't know what to do with at times. But we're putting our least experienced officials, our youngest, most vulnerable officials, we're putting them what I call on the field of failure, and we're asking them to succeed when the parents are expecting perfection. But the players themselves are not perfect. They're not even close. They're not even, it's terrible. It's awful. And so sometimes the officiating is too, and that has to be okay. We as parents have to stop expecting a score with a win-loss record and just allow ourselves to be open to just having fun with the kids and letting the kids make mistakes and not worrying about who wins or loses at that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 age group level. Like, it's just not important. It doesn't make sense. Even on the pay-to-play scale, it does not make sense. The officiating is never going to be what you guys want it to be. So what happens is we go out there and listen, I was a cheeseburger once. That's what a lot of people don't know about me on this page. I had to reform myself as well. Like, my own daughter did not want me when she first started playing soccer after her first season, when she was going to start her second season. Dad, I don't want you to go to my games. What? Why? Well, because you make me nervous. I hear your voice. What? I am one of the world's best soccer players back in my day. Are you kidding? You don't want me to judge your performance? You don't want me to criticize your game so you can get better? Are you crazy? Well, I was. And it was at that moment I took a step back and I'm like, listen. And my wife at the time was like, hey, your kids don't want you at their games. Check yourself at the door. And I did. And thank God that I did. Now, this was several years before I started the offside page and was really about the time I really started to go up the reffing ladder. But man, that was a wake up call. And then, you know, and now I have all this content and all this information. And I've been around all these studies and these surveys and these psychologist studies and the do's and don'ts of being a good youth sports parent. And God, was I wrong? And God, was I toxic? And God, was it unnecessary? And God, it didn't matter. So what I say for people is check your ego at the door. Even coaches at that level, coaches really at all level going up all the way to college, is check yourself. Yes, coach your team, but you know, officials make mistakes. I mean, in soccer, the FIFA officials make mistakes at the World Cup. You know, so we have to understand what our role is. Are we going to be a coach that day? Or are we going to be an official? Are we going to be a consultant to the official? Or are we going to be a coach? We're going to parent? Are we just going to spectate? We're going to play? Are we going to play as player? What are we going to do? Are we going to are we as officials? Are we going to coach? No, we're going to officiate. So everyone has a role that day. And then here's how it gets real easy. If you know what your role is, be that. Be that. Accept the fate of the coaching. Accept the fate of the players. Accept the fate of officiating. And go and have a damn good day. And when it's all said and done and over with, go get a cheeseburger at the concession stand. Go get an ice cream. And go enjoy your day. That's the way U Sports has to be in order for this culture to even have a chance of succeeding and changing to what it's supposed to be, which is supposed to be about development, fun, sportsmanship, winning with integrity, losing with dignity, all those things. But we as adults, we suck all that out because we make it about us. So if you're going to put your kids into U Sports, if you're going to register them for U Sports and you don't want them to get hurt and you're not emotionally stable enough, and you're not intellectually strong enough to stay out of it, then do golf, do ballet, do chess, do one of those things. Don't do contact sports.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, and checking your ego at the door, that's the hard part, I think. I mean, even the one thing we emphasize with our son is that one bad call or five bad calls in a game shouldn't dictate the score of your game or the outcome. It's how hard you play for those 60 minutes that you have on the pitch. Because like they say about the NFL, any given Sunday, anyone can win. It's matter who wants it more. It's not about the referee. You'll get one bad call, and it's been the last 30 seconds. You had how many minutes? 59 minutes and 30 seconds to win the game prior to that. And it takes 30 seconds at the end of the game for you to lose. No, that's, you didn't put enough energy in. It's not the ref's fault because he made a bad decision on a call. You had more than ample time, and you don't blame the ref. The game's over. You can be frustrated. And it's like one thing, because I do yell at refs every now and then, I'll always go over and apologize after the game. And I have kind of a reputation for apologizing for it. And they know that I'm not trying to be malice and mean. It's just in the moment, I'll see a player get thrown to the ground. I'm like, why aren't you calling that?
Right.
And especially the young ones. It's like my son played in a game 2 weeks ago, and the kid was probably his first time being an AR. And after the game, I go, you did a great job. I am sorry for yelling at you. I just saw our player get shoved to the ground repetitively by the same player, and nothing was being done. And I go, I get elbows get thrown. We had a kid that ended up with a bloody nose. The ref asked me, like, what was my opinion? I go, an elbow went to the face. There's nothing you can do about it. It was a clean play. I'm not upset about the bloody nose. My upset was you guys didn't blow the whistle fast enough. But yeah. There's nothing, but that's what it's about. It's for me as a parent now. I mean, I do every now and then, but I'll just say it to my wife, handball. I'm like, or never mind, that's off the foot to the hand. Doesn't count. Never mind, ignore me. Or whatever the rules are of the game, it's, and I think having the understanding of the other aspect of it helps. And do you advise parents to go take the course, or are you just setting up refs for failure now because they know the rules better?
Well, well, let me go back to your first statement. So if a referee's call or non-call affects whether your team wins or lose, then your team wasn't good enough to earn the victory in the first place. I do say that to coaches at coaching clinics and when I do a lot of speaking, and they don't like to hear that.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And so, you know, so that's one thing. It's like, well, you know, bad decisions, non-calls, you know, they can affect a win or a loss. And that is correct. It can. But if you're good enough, if you're a good enough coach and your team's good enough, you should never be put in a position to be close enough to where that call or non-call affects the outcome of the game. So that's my standard go-to. And then, you know, and then as far as, you know, like the game that you're describing where, you know, there's two sides to this thing. Listen, officials need help. They need development. And this is one thing that doesn't get talked about enough. And I don't talk about it even enough on my own page. But the officials are not good in many cases. We don't have a strong development program specifically. I don't know about baseball. I don't know about basketball and football. But I know soccer. It's very political. And there's not a strong development system for the grassroots, the 96 to 98% of the referees that are never going to be anything but, you know, the club level weekend referee warriors. Those referees are not getting developed. They're not getting protected. They're not getting motivated. They're not getting retained. And we put them out weekend after weekend, and they get yelled at. And is some of it justified? Perhaps. But again, my cry is these are kid games, and we have to remember that. We have to be okay with them making mistakes. We have to be okay. Last night, I was on a high school varsity match last night, and I missed a call. You know why? I was blocked. I wasn't in the proper position. My fault. But I can't call what I don't see. The stadium's going crazy. Coach is mad. Yeah, I didn't mean to not see it, but I didn't see it. My crew didn't see it. And this is listen, you have four officials in this game. Really good officials. All of us. Missed it. But can we move on this is my question. Can we move on without taking it to the next level of hate? You know, Do you need to yell at a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old official because someone got pushed down? Does that do any good? You know, a lot of young and inexperienced officials swallow the whistle because there's a response, and they don't and they're not sure what the response is going to be, but they're pretty sure it's going to be negative. And so they get into the syndrome where they swallow the whistle. Even something as gregarious as a blatant push that everybody saw, like, shit, I'm not blowing the whistle. I'm not doing it. Everyone's going to yell at me. One side's going to yell at me. Coach is going to yell at me. I'm just not going to blow it. And that's a real thing. And our younger coaches that coach younger officials, or excuse me, younger teams, have to come to terms with, they are the product. Bad officiating is the product of their screaming and yelling. And so the best thing that I tell coaches to do, I'm like, listen, officials are, especially our young inexperienced officials, they already think you're not going to like them. They walk up to the pitch thinking that by the end of the game, you're going to want to beat their ass, yell at them, crucify them, turn them into the club, all those things. They're walking to the field thinking that already. The best thing that you can do, the most advantageous thing that you can do as a coach, is walk up to that official, smile, and say, hey, listen, I know that you're developing just like my team is developing and this game is developing and all these players on both these teams are developing. I want you to know that I'm not going to lose my crap on you. I'm going to be a fan of you. So here's what I want you to walk away with. If something happens in this game today, because we know all those parents over there can be crazy, and sometimes me as the coach, I can be crazy, and sometimes my players are clumsy and they can get crazy. If something goes down and you need a friend, you need someone that's got your back, no matter what, no matter how aggravated I might get, or no matter the outcome of the game, I want you to know, Sally, Sam, whatever your name is, I got your back today. Something happens, you come to me first. Man, if you say that to an inexperienced, a younger official, hell, say that to me on a college game. I'm your friend. You've got so much equity with me. You got so much equity with me. And listen, we're human. You got a 50-50 call going down the line. Where do you think my whistle's going to go to?
The one that has your back, yeah.
Absolutely. Coaches have to be smart. Know your officials. I laugh at and I tell coaches this too. I'm like, listen, if you guys only knew how easy it is to impress me as a person, You guys have no idea how to tactically approach and strategically plan for an official, and shame on you. Because we all have personalities, we all have styles, and you don't plan for that. You don't strategize on how to get the ref and how to manipulate the ref to be to your benefit as opposed to not being to your benefit.
Right.
So if I could just get coaches to think different on how they approach, especially at the youth level, their officials, and then how to manage, like when something goes down, listen, don't scream at that moment at them, because now that gets them on the defensive. Wait till halftime. Wait till after the game, and then come to them with civility. Come to them and say, "Hey, listen, I'm gonna harass you here a little bit, but come on, man. Didn't you think that was a foul when my kid fell down right there? Come on, help me out, man. We're losing. We're down two scores." You know what I say? If someone comes up to me like that, "Hey, coach, I might have missed that. Let me talk to my crew at halftime. We're going to keep a better eye on that." Now, listen, not everyone's going to say that, right? And listen, right. How you approach an official at halftime and after a game can be very bad, because you're not supposed to. But if you come to us with respect and civility and you say things like that, that's how you change an official. That's how you help a situation. That's how you help make an official better. But the threats, the harassment, the tirades, the spontaneous yells on the field, those do nothing but put you at a disadvantage.
I totally agree. Last season when my son was playing last fall, and the whole crowd went quiet. And I said, "That was a handball." I was like, the kid raised his hand and knocked the ball down. And the ref turned, and I said that the right moment as the crowd went quiet. And he turns to me and goes, "Do you want a ref?" I go, "I have my certification done." He goes, "Then why aren't you refing?" I go, "I want to watch my kid play." And afterwards, him and I had a chat, and I apologized. And he refed 2 games later when my son had another game. And we brought snacks for that game. And I go, "Hey, I'm sorry for being so rude earlier. Here's this." And every time I saw him for the rest of the season, he just laughed. We looked at each other and laughed and smiled. I mean, we knew that bygones were bygones, and we're going to have a good time. It's like, and I always went over and thanked him and had a small chat with him afterwards. But
that's good. And you know what? It's funny. One of my biggest adversaries many years ago was a guy that just hated every time I walked onto the field. Like, he would just publicly like make a scene. And I actually played against him in an indoor soccer game several years ago. And I played against him in an indoor soccer game. And I thought, oh my, and this is a big dude. I'm not a big guy. And right. He goes to take me out like viciously on an indoor game. And I had enough wits about me. I got up to my knees and I knew what he was doing. I knew what it was. And I called him out. And I called his ass out. My sister played on the team with me. And my sister went over there to go try to beat him up. That's how crazy the scene was. And but after that moment, it took that moment, and he grabbed me after the game. Didn't grab me, but he stopped me after the game. He goes, "Listen, I lost it." He goes, "I don't like you as an official." He goes, "I don't know how you are as a person." And he goes, "I actually think you're a really good official. I think you're really arrogant. And so I've had this thing." And he goes, "But I was way out of line. And dude, I'm sorry." And I said, "Listen, I accept. The only thing I ask of you, if you see me on the soccer field, especially in my gear, going to your game or your kid's game or whatever, dude, just stop with the nonsense. Stop." Because I got to the point where every game, the first time I heard his word, I just removed him. I just removed him because I knew what it was going to be the whole game.
Right.
I just removed him. And now, and it, you know, this was years. And now, dude, every time we see each other, it's a high five. It's a hug. It's him requesting me for soccer games. Like, it's totally like it's night and day. Right. But sometimes it's those moments that make the best impact, you know?
Yes. And then we go to my problem is we go to the MLS games here in Dallas, and I will yell, like give a card or bad call. And it's, I'll always go Dallas's way, but it's like that's a really bad foul they missed. And it would be Dallas fouling whoever they're playing. And it's like, why aren't they calling it? And my wife and I look at each other like, oh well. And it's like, can we talk like it's an angle thing? You don't always see the angle.
Well, and unfortunately, and it sounds like you've got your grassroots badge, and this really sucks in officiating, but officiating at the grassroots level is understanding foul recognition and how to blow your whistle, and it's very, very basic stuff. And then you transition into doing what I call, you know, what is called competitive, you know, like U19, ECNL, GA, MLS Next, semi-pro and college. Okay. That type of soccer, they want us to let them try to play. It's no longer about foul recognition. It's about game management, game flow, game management. Okay. And so we don't call all the fouls in those levels. We don't, we let them, we're very patient. We look for advantage. It's a way more about managing players, trying not to give us cards. You know, like in a youth game, you can give a card for dissent, but you know, once you hit that middle level that I'm describing right now, you know, you try not to card dissent. You try to manage, you know, delay a game. You try 10 yards distance. You try to manage that. That's not always a card, you know. So in black and white, it's cards. It's yellow cards. It's, you know, you can all that kind of stuff. But in the middle level of officiating, it's not. They don't want that. And then you get to the pro level, and the pro level is a lot about entertainment and making sure that the stars that are paid hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of dollars are available and seen on the field. And so these officials are overlooking a lot of stuff that seems very obvious to the common referee, even the common fan, the common coach. Like, why aren't we managing that? Why aren't we carding that? Well, at the upper level, pro level, especially once you get up into FIFA level, you know, we swallow our whistle a lot. We're letting them play through some stuff. We're letting them play through some reckless challenges. We're letting them play through some stuff that looks obvious. So there's this chain of officiating that is not fluid, and it confuses a lot of people. So I love it when I hear the word, hey, I'm just looking for consistency. I'm like, hell yeah, so are we. So are we. You know, we can call a PK in the middle level of officiating, that U19, that MLS Next, that semi-pro official, we can call a PK, but if we call that PK at the MLS level, the pro level, it might not be a PK because it might not have been, you know, they look at the analytics and the dynamics of, you know, yeah, you know, the attacker might have got tripped, but did he initiate the trip? So that PK in the middle level isn't always a PK at the highest level. So there's no fluidity. And right. And referees that are on the grassroots level, they're like, oh yeah, I've got my ref badge. I'm probably a pretty good referee. Shit, dude, when I was a grade 7, what's called a grade 7 referee, which is 8-9 years ago, I thought I was a great ref, dude. I'm like, man, I know my foul selection. I can manage games. I'm fit. And dude, I got up to the next level. I was a terrible official. Terrible. And that's unfortunate, you know, and that happens to a lot of officials.
And that's fascinating because I know at the higher levels, they tend to let more things slide, but I just didn't know how much. Now it makes more sense. But that's the thing. It's like, I don't know if you watch a lot of North Texas stuff. Parents are crazy. And
I get so many videos from North Texas. I'd be bankrupt if I posted all the videos I got from North Texas. North Texas and Florida. But you know why? It's because, you know, it's where all the sports are played. I mean, year round.
Yes.
You know, so but, you know, there's a ton of tournaments. There's a ton of games. I mean, I get it. But God, dude. Yeah. Tons of stuff that I get from North Texas.
And it just blows my mind. Like, I know that I've been out of line and my wife will nudge me and say, like, you need to calm down. And I'm like, I go, you're right. And I'll be quiet rest of the game. And because I'm embarrassed that I said, like, she had to say something to me. In the pro games, I really don't care. I mean, I'm one of 20,000 people, but I'm one of 50 people on the sideline. And for me to say something enough to for my wife to nudge me means that I'm embarrassing. well, enough to hurt, and that will make me think twice about next time. And the next game I'll be pretty good, then all of a sudden I'll see a bad call like a couple weeks ago, and I see a player shoved down to the ground, and I've called it on my son. Like, my son extended his arm, like, that's a foul, call it on him. It's the only way he'll learn not to do it anymore.
Well, and that's funny because, you know, it's you never hear the other team's parents whenever their team fouls or commits a handball or offside. You never hear the yelling and screaming there. So do we really want a fair game? I mean, because that's what everyone's like, you know, you're there to call a fair, safe game. Do you really want that? Because if you did, you'd be yelling on both sides of your mouth, and you're not. Right. So don't feed me that bullshit, because that's what it is.
I'll yell at my own kid because I want him to be the best player he can be. And that, sure. I think that's the parent's bias for me, at least.
Sure. Of course.
If you don't call it on him, he'll continue doing that reckless behavior until you call him and explain it. He will continue doing it. And then we actually had to hire a coach when he was 6 to teach him how to use his body correctly, because he was in tears.
Yeah.
After going from rec to club, because he didn't know, he thought every time he got touched was a foul.
Yeah.
Like, no. You're allowed to post ups to a degree. You're allowed to go 50-50 for the ball. You can step in front and steal the ball. And like, he learned all this from his private coach he had, and we were fortunate enough to be able to afford to do it. Granted, in the grand scheme of things, for him where he's at today, it was worth every penny. But he's 9.
Yeah. 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 No, I get it. And you know, the other side of that too is, this is officials, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but you know, the kids, and, you know, if you're embarrassing your wife or you're out of line, you first thing, you know, sometimes you can manifest an entire sideline to be really toxic and negative just by one voice. You know, if one parent does it, then the other side will, you know, they get mad because you're doing it. And now they're yelling, and it can really just manifest itself. Number one. Number two, the kids don't want it. I mean, they're embarrassed. Honestly, they're embarrassed by it. You don't know how many times we've removed parents from a sporting event, and the kid either apologizes or thanks the official. The kids just, they don't want it. They just want to play. And then, and a lot of times they don't even care. They don't even care if they win or lose. They just want to play.
Yeah. Right. And fortunately we have a bit of a type of kid. He just wants to go out there and play. He plays a year up. He plays for his team. I know I'm more vocal when it's his team. When it's the other team he plays for, when he plays his own age group, I don't say a word. Because to me, it doesn't matter, because he's out there to have fun. And I said that to my wife one time, and she goes, you just need to have the same mentality in his games, because it's the same game at the end of the day. It doesn't matter. He's 9. These games don't matter until he's a U14, U16. And when he's starting to get scouted for college and or pro, whatever it may be, that's when it matters. And by that point in time, you're going to be so far removed from the field, the refs can't hear you anyway. Just learn to be quiet now.
Exactly. See, you're getting it. You're figuring it out. You don't need me.
but to me, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I've seen incidents that's happened, and it's like, I have a network of friends that I have here. I'm like, did he hear about this? Or did he see a video on this? Or is there a video on this? Because I'm just curious. And like, I have people that know people. And I was really sad to hear several times when things have happened that nothing accumulated of it, because it needs to be brought forth and be seen by the public. So it's not so much to embarrass the individual, but to show like, hey, this behavior has to end. This happened in our backyard this time, not 20 miles away on the other side of town. And it's really sad when you see that type of behavior, because I know that where my dad was, like, he'll just yell from his spot and never move. And the crazy part was, my dad probably knew the ref that he was yelling at and probably went to school with him or knew his brother or sister from some, or aunt or uncle. And so my dad would go up and talk to him afterwards, like nothing ever happened. So having seen that, and I remember playing baseball, we had an umpire. It was beginning of the spring. I'm from Northern New York. And so he goes, I'm calling this game a quick game. He told everyone both sides, I'm calling it softball side out. So 5.5 inches outside the plate, 5 to 6 inches. Better be swinging that bat. I get up to the plate. It was my only strikeout, one of two strikeouts that season. And he goes, I told you, I'm calling it 6 inches outside the plate. I'm like, you're right, you did. I'm sorry. fight. Like, come on. I
walked away. And you say, yeah. I'm sorry too much. You got to stop saying I'm sorry.
I know. I just don't need to do it.
Just don't do it.
Right. But it's a trend in my life. And
well, the good news is I think you're aware and I think you're recognizing it. And, you know, and I'm all the time trying to get people to, you know, be an agent of change, because if we're not, nothing's going to change. And so, you know, at least you're progressing and trending the right direction. And, you know, the last thing I would just say is, you know, just be cognizant to the moment. It's not yours. It's theirs. And whenever you're an adult and you get boisterous and you get loud or you get inappropriate, you take the moment from them and you make it yours. And that's the worst part of this whole thing.
So I have a question as a coach now, because I have my son when he did play. I always told the referee, if you ever need to make an official, tell me to make a scene and I'll make a scene and eject me from the game. And I actually have told it, because I'd be suspended for 2 games from the indoor. But I've also told the front desk, if I ever get suspended, it's because it's planned. Because indoor here in North Texas, you have these coaches that are yelling at 16-year-old kids like it's the end of the world. And it's like, I go, if you need to make an example, tell me, I'll be your example. And I always got every call our way because of this, I was serious with them, because I coached my son and my daughter there. And I got to know all the refs very well. And I go, if you ever need to set an example for a team that you always have trouble with, make it of me. And I know that we'll be on the same page. Like, I want this place to be a safe environment for these kids on the soccer field to play. And a coach getting out of line, I'm just the assistant, and I'll be more glad to make a scene. It's easy for me.
Yeah.
And I go, just let me know. But we always got the calls our way. I had two refs that says, you're my favorite coach to have over here. You'll always say, hey, can you watch number so-and-so? Or you'll always ask for something, not demand it.
Yeah.
And that went a long ways, but also telling them to kick me out if they ever needed an example went a long ways too. And I had the referees, a lot of them there knew that. And they knew that, like, if the game was getting out of hand, kick me out and make an example for everyone around. So I'll go out to my car and watch it on my phone.
good.
But that's the mentality I had as a coach. As a parent, I struggle with it. I mean, I know I'm talking a lot about myself because I don't want to put anyone else on the spot. It's easy to put myself on the spot.
Right.
But it's a learning curve. And as parents, you've mentioned it. So now as an official, to answer the question I asked earlier, it was, do you advise parents to go through at least the online side of it? I know U.S. soccer grassroots level is not the greatest because it doesn't really explain any much. It just tells you the basic rules of the game and safety side of it, like if there's thunder and lightning and things like that. But how do you advise parents to better understand the rules so they can take the step forward and understand?
It's funny you ask, Ian, because I just launched Offside Academy a few weeks ago, which is, you know, for grassroots referees trying to get better. And it's all about the stuff they don't teach you. And listen, dude, there's so much crap they don't teach you as an official. It's unreal. So there's that aspect. Now, the spinoff of that is a segment called Side Before Self, which will also be on the Offside Academy platform. But it's built to help parents in soccer just have a little bit better understanding of controversial rules, laws of the game, like offside, like handling. It also helps you be a better youth sports parent. It tells you, it kind of teaches you the things that kids don't want to hear, what they do want to hear. You know, what constitutes a goal, what constitutes a ball being out of bounds, you know, all that stuff. You lose your crap on the sideline because you thought the ball went out of bounds. Well, you know, maybe it did. But it probably didn't. You just thought that it did. You know, but it has like, I think it's like 42 videos of just stuff for soccer parents to make them better understand that a lot of the things that they're yelling and seeing aren't what they think they are.
Right. So,
yeah.
I remember sitting at a game.
What'd you say?
Talking about out of bounds. The ball has to be 100% over the white line. I remember the ball was on the line. The parents saying, it's out of bounds. Like, this is not American football. I'm sorry.
Right. And you have to remember the ball's spherical too. It's like, it's round. So there might be some grass between the line and the actual ball, but that doesn't mean the entire ball is out.
Right.
And they, boy, they lose their crap over that. I mean, just, it's just silly stuff. But yeah, so offsideschool.com has the first academy for the refs. And I think in about 3 to 4 weeks, it'll have the Side Before Self curriculum as well. And that's cheap. Well, both of them are pretty cheap. The Offside Academy School or offsideschool.com, the Referee Academy is only $25. And then I think I'm going to make the Side Before Self. I think I'm just going to make it like $5 or $10. Like I'm not going to make it expensive because I just want as many people as possible to look at it and watch it and get it. And it's pretty entertaining stuff too.
Are you going to partner with clubs then? Because I know that as a parent, I have to sign a legal document saying that I'm going to have ethical behavior on the sideline, and not a single club enforces it. And it just blows my mind because want to fix youth soccer, enforce the policies that you already have held accountable for.
I was telling somebody the other day that the whole zero tolerance is the new thoughts and prayers. Like, okay, someone saying that there's zero tolerance means nothing to me. Like it has no value to me at all. We got to get real comfortable in making people uncomfortable real quick. This issue of referee shortage, that's a real crisis right now. Everyone's going to feel it at some point if we don't reverse this thing. So,
right. Okay. Who's your greatest influence then as a player, and who's your greatest influence now as a referee?
Oh gosh, my greatest influence as a player. Goodness gracious, you're going to laugh at me, but it's Troy Aikman.
It's fine.
I always felt like he composed himself, and I always felt like he was very professional, and I always thought he understood the power of team, and I've loved watching him grow into the professional realm that he's grown into on television as an announcer and a play-by-play color analyst. And I just always had a lot of respect of how he carries himself from a business sense, from even as a player. So as a player, it's always been Troy Aikman. And I'm not a huge Dallas Cowboy fan. I don't want everyone to think. I know you're in North Texas and everybody loves Dallas. And
I'm a Giants fan.
Oh, okay. So you're opposite, right? So Troy would be that. And then, as an official, I have two. I have a gentleman that when I was really starting to come up the ranks, no one's going to know who he is unless they're here regional, which they might, I guess, being in North Texas. But Bill Pivarnik, he took me under his wing when everyone was kind of laughing at me. And, you know, I was not the best ref when I first started. And as I started to kind of get up the ladder or try to, everyone thought I was going to fail miserably. And there was one guy that's like, Barlow, I see your heart. I see your spirit. He goes, let me help you get there. And he did. And so he's great. And then there's a FIFA official by the name of Nima Sagafi, who's probably arguably top five official in the world, soccer official. And he's someone that I study, fortunate enough to get to learn from him. And he's really helped. Both those guys have really helped make me the referee that I am today. So there you go.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. I know Brian used some coarse language, but it's okay. It is how he had to explain what was going on and why his decision making was made. But at the end of the day, this was hilarious. I've never laughed so hard in an interview. Now that being said, the message he's trying to give is to support our refs. If they're going out there like he said, these parents hate me, these coaches hate me, or I might as well not call this, we're already doing have a crummy game to start. We need to give these referees the power they need to do the job they need. He made a great point of whatever level our kids are at, that's the level of the ref we're going to get. Because you don't have your best referees at a 4v4 level. You have your greenest referees there, your newest ones. And as you progress, they should get better. And as they move to bigger ones, you don't know how long they've been reffing for. So give them a break. I know that I have struggled with this, and I can't be here saying that I'm perfect. I am not when it comes to referees. I have to apologize after so many matches. It's not funny. But I am slowly getting better. Now, that being said, he is getting ready to launch his new website for his parents to come on and watch some videos, learn more about the game. He already has a mentoring program for young referees, or green referees. I shouldn't always say young because some of them start older in life. Now, that being said, I hope you take his message with a open heart, I can say, because what he's trying to do is make a change for better matches. Now, that being said, I hope you guys forgive me for talking too much in this episode, because I felt like I talked way too much. Until next time, let's chat at the pitch.